97.7 Dundalk FM
Town Talk.
Joanne Lavelle, good morning.
How are you? And congratulations to Mark. It was a lovely interview and such a great venue. I love it. So delighted for them.
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe it. 20 years. It
honestly.
Just, yeah. It feels like yesterday. Anyway, we're going to talk this morning about first-time buyers.
Yeah, first-time buyers. I suppose we can talk about where money might come from, where you can get funding for first-time buyers, but also just a kind of a bit of advice and sanity checking, because it's a hot and pressured time for first-time buyers. You know, what made me think about this was I visited a friend of mine over the weekend, and she's just moved in. She just bought her first house and she just moved in. And she was really embarrassed because like the house wasn't looking like a magazine. And I did say to her, you know, this should be a thing that you will enjoy over the years to make your house the way that you want it. Don't be in a rush. It feels like there's a lot of pressure on people to have their house looking fabulous at the beginning. It really shouldn't be. I mean, you should take your time, save up your money for your next project, decide, prioritise. This year I'm going to concentrate on the kitchen. Next year I'll concentrate on buying a new sofa, whatever it is. There's really no harm in just painting wooden floors, timber floors, until you can afford carpets. But I do feel like first-time buyers are under pressure to have everything just looking lovely at the beginning, and it's hard. The other thing about, and a simple reality check is, I think you have to get into a house and get to know the house before you make big decisions about it anyway. What the colour is like, what the light is like, where you like to spend your time in the house. Are you a kitchen person or a living room person? These things evolve over time. And if you have kids or if you don't have kids, depending on your stage of life, get to know your house before you worry about spending all your money on getting it looking a certain way.
But it's what we all do, isn't it? When you get your house first. You just want to, and then as time goes on, you go through periods. There are times when, you're really enthusiastic, and there are other times it's just, oh, look, you know, I have a bed, it's grand.
I have a bed, exactly. But, you know, the thing about it is, the stage in life that you're in now isn't the stage in life that you'll be in forever, you know? So if you're, for example, if you're in the stage of life where you have small children, babies, you make decisions around that. But time flies before you're into a new stage and you need a new set of requirements for your house. And the things change from having a nappy table to having storage for the toys to having a homework desk for first years. Let your house evolve like that and don't get too worried about change within the house, because that's what your house is there for.
Now, you said, first of all, first-time buyers, how did they become first-time buyers? And this is something that is possibly a lot more difficult now than it was, say, maybe 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it is. It's really difficult. Well, I mean, the cost of houses, the affordability thing is difficult. Back before the recession, there were 100% mortgages. Now we are luckily, and I don't say luckily, but we're in a good situation that there's tighter regulation around finance. So a first-time buyer can borrow up to 90% of the purchase price. Okay, so you have to go and save or receive a gift or do something like that for the 10%, but you can't get a mortgage to cover that 10%. Okay. So it's a kind of a safety mechanism built in into the mortgage, you know, to ensure that we're not going back into 100% finance. So there's really three different ways, well, two and one incoming that's going to come in, I think, next year, of ways to get finance for the first-time buyer home. Obviously, you have the Help to Buy scheme, so pretty much every first-time buyer is going to go for the Help to Buy scheme. It's worth up to €20,000, depending on your tax and the value of the property and so on, and there is a ceiling on it for houses that are caught that are valued at up to 500,000. Now you'd kind of think that houses over 500,000 wouldn't be your typical first time buyer. So it's up to 500,000, and you get that money back, which is, as I say, worth up to 20,000 on your income tax. Now it's not going to change your USC or your other aspects of your tax, but it's on your income tax. So that's how you get it back over time. And you have to be borrowing a minimum of 70% on the purchase price, the value of the property. It is available for new property only, not secondhand property, but it is also available on self-builds. So if you're building a one-off, okay? And I always say to people when they come to me looking for valuations for their one-off, don't think about the Help to Buy scheme afterwards. You have to have it right at the start so that you know exactly that your one-off build fits in with the criteria of the Help to Buy scheme, of the Help to Buy scheme, you know, so that you don't be sad afterwards that you've missed out on something. So that's the Help to Buy scheme. It was extended in the budget a couple of weeks ago to go on for another 2 years, and no changes to it. So it's business as usual for the Help to Buy scheme. Just make sure if you're buying a new house that the builder is registered under the scheme. Most of them are. So you can see it on the website and make sure that the builder of the house you're looking at is part of the scheme, and then, you know, it's a paperwork system from there. The next one is the Rebuilding Ireland scheme. Okay, less well known. It is operating in County Louth. It's not operating in every county, so it's good that we're here. And it's really for people who have previously been refused by two lenders to get a mortgage. Okay, it's a government backed scheme. Okay, and you can borrow up to €288,000 in this county for participating in the Rebuilding Ireland scheme. It is the thing that's different to the Help to Buy scheme is that it's also suitable for second-hand houses. So you can apply it to a new house, a second-hand house and a self-build. So really that's the prize for the second-hand house that you find on the market. And as I say, you can borrow up to €288,000 for that.
And is that, it has to be 90%, that you can't get over 90% on that?
You can never borrow more than 90% on a mortgage.
Who are you borrowing from in that instance then? Is it the local authority?
Yeah, it's a local authority arrangement, yeah. So it works in pretty much the same way insofar as you get the house valued, the council will get the house valued, and the same way in the Help to Buy scheme, you will still get the house valued by the mortgage provider, so that, you know, you have your paperwork in order.
And the criteria you said, you have to be refused by two...
You have to have been refused by two lenders.
Two lenders. Yeah. So I suppose it's not that difficult to get refused, really, if if you know what you're doing, you can go in and get yourself refused. But is there anything else then? Would it be similar to when you're applying for local authority housing? Do they take other things into consideration?
No, it's not really. There's a third option for that. So this isn't for people who are on the housing list. But there are, it does have reduced rates. Okay. So the mortgage rates are lower and that's attractive. But you wouldn't want to proactively get yourself refused a mortgage in order to be eligible for this Rebuilding Ireland. Yeah. Because when you're refused a loan or like a mortgage, that's a credit rating matter. And you know what I mean? You don't want to be refused. So, it's if you have been refused by two lenders and you have a legitimate eligibility for that. The third one is the Affordable Purchase Scheme, and it's not really up and running yet. But it's interesting. We'll see what happens when it comes to be. But it is basically to there's a gap there for people who are eligible for social housing, that they're on the housing list, and people who can't get a mortgage. Okay, so it's like the third rung down. It's for people between qualifying for social housing and the mortgage criteria. Okay, so where there's a difficulty there with being compliant with either the Rebuilding Ireland or the Help to Buy scheme, more so for the people who aren't eligible for the Rebuilding Ireland scheme. And as I say, it's not quite up and running yet. Hopefully next year we're going to see more coming on about that. And I think that will be particularly helpful. For example, if you think in the values in Dundalk, properties from the 100, well, up to say 150, 160,000, because a lot of those properties now have been purchased by investors.
Mm.
Now, that's a good thing as well, because investors are putting the property back into the rental stock. So then there's properties available to rent. But it might create more of a balance in that particular price segment. So they're basically the three ways that you might go about, you know, looking at finance for your 90%. And obviously, you know, when you're in the Help to Buy scheme, you're still going back to the normal high street lenders and online lenders. I say online lenders, you know, those who don't have a high street presence, for your 90%. And they're very competitive at the moment. I'm not an expert on percentages, so I won't start to go down that road.
I mean, we don't recommend anyone in particular. Anyways.
No, I don't. I don't advocate anyone.
Yeah. So the deposit then?
The deposit. So 10%.
Big
it's hard. It's hard. I mean, you know, I know of people who have been saving for years to get their deposit together, and it's difficult. One thing that people often ask me about is what they call the bank of mum and dad.
Mm.
Okay, so this is where...
But Leo calls the bank of mum and dad.
where everybody's up early. So the situation where your parents are giving you a cash gift, if you like, to go towards your deposit. Okay, now it's important to remember that you're allowed to receive from your parent €310,000 over your lifetime before you're due for taxation. Okay, but if you receive a gift, that could be part of the €310,000, and then if you receive an inheritance, you don't have €310,000 left, you have the balance left, and then you get into the capital gains tax issue. So I do always say to people, if they're looking at receiving a gift from their parents, that everybody goes and gets sound tax advice. Because it's not to say that you're avoiding tax or evading tax, it's that you're being tax smart, okay? So, for example, a parent can give anybody a gift every year of €3,000. In any year, they can simply give a cash gift of 3,000 euro, which is not subject to taxation. OK, so if dad gave 3,000 a year and mom gave 3,000 a year, that's 6,000. OK, now dad can also give 3,000 a year to a child's partner, and a mum can even give 3,000 a year to a child's partner. So that straight away is 12,000.
Yeah.
OK, it's completely legitimate and it's allowable. And it's just a really smart way if you're going to be relying upon a gift from a parent to do that. OK, so if, you know, in reality, you're not going to be saving in the short term for a deposit for a house, it's going to take you an amount of time. Do that over an amount of time in order for you to accumulate if your parents are in a position, in a lucky position of being able to give that kind of money. Then there's also a lot of solutions out there for when you get the money, where are you going to put it? Put it into a smart saver account or put it into a life assurance account so that it's working at its possible hardest for you whilst you're accumulating it and getting ready to find your house. So it's not only how you get it, it's where you put it, when you get it, to put it away and let it work, whether it's for its interest, gain its interest or whatever it is, until you're ready to put it into a house.
And if there was just two figures you mentioned there. You mentioned the 310,000 over a lifetime. But if, say, for instance, you needed 30,000 for your deposit, can mum and dad give you 30,000 or?
Well, if I was looking for a deposit and mum and dad gave me 30,000 euro today, well, then that's fine. I don't have to pay tax on it. But then I only have 280,000 remaining. And if it's a situation where then I am in the future to inherit, for example, a property from my parents after their day, if
you will be taxed.
Anything over in that property's value or the estate, I should say, worth over 280,000, you're straight away in.
OK, whereas the 3,000 gift doesn't come out
correct.
Of that. Yeah, yeah. OK, I'm with you on that one. What about mum and dad don't have it, but Auntie Mary or Uncle Peter does, and they don't have their own children. Can they bestow the same amount of money? Or
yeah, so as I understand it, Auntie Mary or a neighbour or anybody can go with the 3,000 a year situation.
Yeah.
Now there is also a small threshold for Auntie Mary to give a gift of cash or property or something before there's capital gains tax or inheritance tax. It's a lot smaller than the parent-to-child tax, but it is there. But the sensible solution is 3,000 a year.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you have your deposit, and what then?
And then you're out into the wilderness looking at properties. And, you know, the weekends very quickly become taken up with looking at properties and making decisions. And I always say to first-time buyers, listen to the advice around you, okay? I know that people who are first-time buyers now, they're a different generation. There may be two generations off the people who are giving the advice, but often the advice is sound. You know, think about this is a property, something that you're going to own for decades potentially. So think about it for the future as well as for the present and make sure that it's future-proofed. You know, now, for example, if you're going to buy a two-bedroom apartment because that's within your affordability zone, that's fine. Make sure that it's a two-bedroom apartment, which in a few years is going to be something you can sell and upsize to something bigger if that's something that you're going to want to do.
A couple of questions in. First one, and yeah, this is something I think went on maybe before the crash that you mentioned. Can I get a loan for the deposit? Because I know people used to maybe go to the credit union and got their deposit there and then went back and went to the bank or building society for a mortgage. But can that be done now?
No, it can't be done. And also, as I said earlier, that banks used to give 100% mortgages, but they call it the sneaky way to try and get a deposit. You can't get a mortgage or you can't get a loan for the deposit. And, you know, all of our loans information, all that detail is stored centrally. It's not as though one bank's not going to check with the credit union if they've given you a loan. Credit union doesn't give a loan for a deposit anyway. So saving is your only man.
OK, I'm building a house. Can I get the Help to Buy scheme?
Yes, you can. You can get the Help to Buy scheme, remembering that you have to be borrowing at least 70% of the value of the property on completion. OK, that's the property on completion, not the site value or anything like that. So say if you think that your house is going to be worth 300,000 when it's finished, well, then you need to be borrowing at least 70% of that. OK, so that's the rule. It has to be 70% minimum borrowed. And again, the 500,000 ceiling applies. So if you're building a big whopper of a house that's going to be worth over 500,000, well, then you're not going to get the Help to Buy scheme.
Okay. And finally, I think you've already answered this, but maybe we'll just sort of clarify. My daughter is saving like mad for a deposit. I have some savings. Can I give it to her? Well, that would
yeah,
be,
so that'd that's be the best not to do it over a bulk amount, because then yeah. you get into the thresholds. Go to €3,000 a year if possible. And remember, if she's buying with somebody else, a partner or a friend, you can, always a big caveat about buying property with friends, by the way. But yeah, the 3,000 can also be given to a non-family member.
Could, you know, your mother give you 3,000 and your sister 3,000 and your brother 3,000 and then your sister and brother, who don't need it right at that time, give it over to you and then you've got 9,000?
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I'm just thinking of how to, you know, because there will be people out there who necessarily are buying
yeah,
on their
sure.
own and, you know, to try and...
Yeah, no, that can work. That's fine. Bear in mind as well that where you receive a gift or you receive money from somebody, you need to have a letter confirming that that person is giving you the money, because your mortgage provider will want that letter, because they'll want to know where you got
where
the balance
got,
from.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when we're dealing with non-loan funds, i.e. cash, we always have to demonstrate where the money came from.
That makes absolute sense. Listen, Joanne, it's another great property chat, and I know you'll be back in 2 weeks, but in the meantime, just to let people know where you are if they have
yeah,
any more
down
queries
on Street,
this.
Michael Lavelle Estate Agent down in Bridge Street. We're always here for helpful advice if you need it, and we do obviously sales and lettings and valuations, but the valuations mortgages is a place where we hear about people's scenarios, and we're able to offer advice, so we're always there if you need us.
Excellent stuff. That is Joanne Lavelle.
97.7 Dundalk FM. Town Talk.